Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Fred, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning, everybody. This is a sign for Ed. He's not looking at me, but that's okay. It's for later. Okay. Hi, everybody. How y'all doing?
We're doing good.
Good?
Doing good. We're riot-free.
Riot free
here in the studio.
But I tell you what,
we still have half an hour to make that.
Leadership tried to take that popcorn machine away. We might have riots.
Then I'll call out the Marines.
That's right.
I have to. Nobody's getting my popcorn machine right there.
That's right.
Our popcorn machine. It's shared.
It's
we take a communal view here of the popcorn machine.
Just yes.
Don't get the last of it if I'm coming for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think they know that. The staff knows that by now.
Do they? Yeah.
If you're going to take the last before today's issue,
right? Yeah. Don't.
Somebody better make some more.
Don't do that.
I think Tim is like me and my wife. We have an agreement with my wife. It's like what's mine is yours, and what's yours is yours.
Yes.
All right, Fred. Do you want to say anything about what we talked about? We've muted you the last 30 minutes.
No, I was listening to Abe's expertise in the law, and it's really important right now because, as we mentioned, Newsom has gone to court. He believes that Trump had no legal right to call out the National Guard. Abe says he has every right to call out the National Guard. But there is the case about the Marines, and I understand, you know, from Abe and my understanding of the law, that is going to be the question point. Now, I still am not clear. I do not believe the Marines have arrived on the streets where these protests.
I think that's correct.
Yeah, they've been in a holding area. Actually, they talked about they're training the Marines on how to do the crowd control and whatever they may be required to do at this holding area. So until the Marines arrive on site, I don't think Newsom has a case against the Marines. They haven't done anything yet.
I heard the discussion, and Abe was, as all of you all know, was saying that they can go in a support role. Didn't we send Army or Marines or some military down to the southern border at some point to relieve ICE of the administrative function down there so that they could go after more criminals?
There were members of the Army who went down to help out in building detention centers.
Well, that would be the support role that Abe was talking about. That would be illegal use.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think it's more debatable there because you're talking about the use of a military to prevent a foreign invasion, you could argue, especially during Biden's time when they were just folks, people pouring in by the millions, right?
I mean, yes.
15 million people came in. Mm-hmm. Biden said, y'all come from around the world. But anyway, using the Marine Corps here is a bad idea, in my opinion. And you could do the same thing with the more National Guard troops.
Yeah.
You could do the same thing. Mm-hmm. State police, whatever the case may be. But we'll see what happens. Hopefully it quails and goes away and dies down. There's a curfew now. There wasn't one. There's a curfew now in order by the mayor of the city of Los Angeles. That should be helpful.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens over the weekend. Notice that we don't have a lot of rioting in America in January. Have you guys noticed this?
Yes.
Now, Jesse Smollett, he ran into problems.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what? He's kind of asking for it, being in MAGA country.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Yeah, downtown Chicago.
In January in Chicago in the middle of the night.
You're going to run into some MAGA fanatics.
It's unavoidable.
Yeah.
You're going to run into some red-headed MAGA folks in downtown Chicago, you know, waiting for some poor soul to come out of Subway.
You meant red-hatted.
What did I say?
Red-headed.
Oh, yeah, red-hatted. Yeah. Thank you for correcting me there.
You know, what's even more stark is you can count the number of riots on zero hands that were during the Biden administration. They don't come out and, you know, like Code Pink completely went away after George Bush left office. You didn't hear about it. Now, the issues didn't change, but they're just, they won't.
Well, and Barack Obama deported a lot of illegal immigrants.
More than Trump in some cases.
There were not protests, you know, wall to wall.
No.
For that.
It's not about deporting immigration.
You're right. It's about
destabilizing.
47.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's about, Trump. About 47. 45/47.
Yeah.
Yep.
Next story.
So the Southern Baptists are meeting in Dallas for their annual meeting. Well, always, they're having a convention, the Southern Baptist Convention. But on Sunday, the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission convened a roundtable, and they invited Oklahoma Senator James Lankford to be a part of this roundtable. And this was right before, on Monday was the pastors' conference, so this was a bunch of pastors mostly gathered in this room. And this is what, I want to read you what James Lankford said as reported by the Christian Post. I've been promised a copy of the video, but it won't be ready for a day or two. So this is what Lankford, this is the Christian Post, Lankford sees the push for pastors to talk more about politics from the pulpit as a system of the current American political climate rather than a biblical call. Quote, I've talked to so many pastors who say that they're struggling in their church because they're attacking them, because people are attacking them, saying, quote, I want you to talk more about politics, he said. They want more anger. They want you to go after people. He shared a story from a couple years ago when someone told Lankford that, quote, no Democrat would feel comfortable in his church. Lankford added, I think he expected me to laugh. Instead, I said to him, you're telling me half of your city can't come and hear the gospel in your church? Why are you doing that? The anger of our culture is bleeding into our congregation, and it's counter to the gospel. And then calling Titus 3 the description of how to be able to impact the culture, Lankford added, it is completely counter to how it's done in most places, even among the church right now, and I'm afraid the church is getting drawn into the Fox News anger culture rather than getting drawn into the leadership of the Holy Spirit. 1, 2, 3, go.
Well, this got sent around yesterday, and I get upset by this kind of talk. Now, first of all, James Lankford is is a Christian, my understanding. He's a Christian, so he's a brother in the Lord.
Yep.
And so this is just a disagreement I have with a Christian brother, okay? First, let me just say, I don't ever hear this kind of talk when you're in a church that leans left and the discussion is about racism, okay, or questions about equity or illegal immigration. Okay, nobody says don't talk about that from the pulpit because you're just falling into the CNN anger echo chamber. Yeah, okay, right. Nobody says that when the issue is something on the left. Second of all, let me just say, Senator Lankford is correct that Christians ought to be in control of their emotions. You know, sinful emotions like anger and hatred and or sinful anger, I should say. Not all anger is sinful. Bitterness, all those kinds of things, malice, name-calling, all of that is sinful conduct. And so pastors ought to be able to preach on issues that are in the news that touch the Bible in terms of worldview and biblical teaching and instruct the people to handle those disagreements in a Christian way. And let me just finally say, and we, you know, others can certainly chime in here. We only hear people like what Senator Lankford said. We only hear people talk about this when the issue is something like abortion or homosexuality. Mm. If a pastor preaches on adultery and that makes adulterers in the congregation feel awkward, nobody tells them to stop preaching about it, okay? part of awkwardness, quote unquote, may be conviction. And if people feel convicted, you don't, you're not helping them by no longer preaching on what the Holy Spirit wants you to preach on just because they feel uneasy about the subject matter. So that's my well-reasoned, not calm, not angry answer to Senator Langford, with all due respect.
Fred, you had some thoughts when you read this.
Well, I think down through history, let's go back to the start of the church. Was Peter concerned that when he spoke to the Jews of his day that Jesus was the Christ? That made some Jews very angry.
He said, Jesus Christ, whom you crucified.
Whom you crucified. So should Peter have stepped back because and be concerned about, I might offend some people by saying that? Look, I don't think you should stand at the door of a church and say, are you a Democrat or are you a Republican? Right. No. But at the same time, a pastor ought not to shy away from preaching about the sin of abortion, about homosexuality, dealing with transgenderism, because I might offend somebody. You cannot do that. And if you do that, then you're saying that the power of the gospel is in me. No, the power of the gospel, they're not mutually exclusive. You can talk about abortion in your message and the sin of abortion, but present the gospel.
Yeah. In fact, they quite go together. I mean,
they do.
God is forgiving God, and forgiveness brings us.
The moment you say, I cannot talk about that sin because I might offend the political views of somebody, I mean, you are then, you're excluding the Holy Spirit.
And you are letting politics enter the church, because politics is now chilling the pastor's speech.
Mm-hmm.
Paul was buying into the Caesar tonight anger of the echo chamber. Caesar.
Oh, yeah. Caesar's. Yeah, Caesar.
Next story, Steve.
All right. I bet you never heard of a politician being free and loose with the facts, have you? So we've been talking all morning about the riots in L.A. and the National Guard or the Army and everything showing up and how to quell those violence and maintain calm. It comes as no surprise that Democrats are blaming Donald Trump. This was Nancy Pelosi this morning at a press conference talking about the calling in of the National Guard. I want you to hear what she says, and then I have another piece to play for you that kind of...
Calling out the National Guard when?
Well, this is... Well, she's talking about that it's wrong to call out the National Guard.
Oh, okay.
For now, in L.A., or at least the Army. But she's trying to make the case that Trump is contradicting himself. Let's just listen to Cut 16. Oh. I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you I loaded him. Let's talk among us. I'm sorry, Brent, do you see 16 and 17 in there? Because
So just to make sure we understand,
yeah.
If we can get the clip, this is Nancy Pelosi. We're going to hear two clips of Nancy Pelosi?
Well, I did load them, but I...
One's all I can take. Sorry.
Even if she's contradicting herself?
Sorry.
Are the clips there, Brent, to load, or do I have to...
We're about to hear Nancy Pelosi talking about Trump.
We're about to hear Nancy Pelosi talking about Trump. Cut 16.
On January 6th, with violence against the Constitution, against the Congress, and against the United States Capitol, we beg the President of the United States to send in the National Guard. He would not do it. Not only would he not do it, when law enforcement people were being harmed, some later died, he would not send it in. That day, he didn't do it. He forgave those people. Now his people want to raise money for them. And yet, in the contra-constitutional way, he has sent the National Guard into California.
Wow.
That's just a bald-faced lie.
Yeah.
I think her $30 a pint ice cream has gone to her head.
In fact, it's reported that Donald Trump begged for more law enforcement to be on the streets during his
January 6th.
And Nancy Pelosi refused. And this is exactly what Nancy Pelosi said on January 6th. This is video taken by Nancy's daughter, who's a
documentary filmmaker.
She was recording in a car that Nancy Pelosi was in driving away from the Capitol during the riot at the Capitol. 17.
We have responsibility, Terry. We did not have any accountability for what was going on there, and we should have. Should we call the Capitol Police? I mean, the National Guard? Why weren't the National Guard there to begin with?
They thought that they had sufficient resources.
No, there's not a question of how they had been. They don't know. They clearly didn't know, and I take responsibility for not having them just prepared for more.
Well,
so she's taking responsibility
for not having
more Capitol Police or the National Guard.
That's right. Yes. But it's Trump that.
Yeah.
That whole day was really weird.
Yeah.
As far as how everything unfolded and so forth. We will. Yeah. She's saying she takes responsibility.
Yeah, for there not being the National Guard.
What's she upset about Trump deploying the National Guard to California for?
The governor is supposed to request the National Guard, in her opinion. If the governor doesn't request it, Trump doesn't have the authority to send it.
That's not true, as Abe said.
Right.
There have been governors who have refused to. Now, there may be some question about, you know, a federal law. In the case of George Wallace, federal law was passed requiring the integration of schools and colleges and universities. George Wallace famously said, I'm not going to let them in, but the president superseded the wishes of the governor by having the National Guard troops there to fulfill the law that was passed. That might be a little bit of a different situation in Los Angeles in that I'm not sure a federal law has been passed in terms of protests in the street. Certainly ICE has the authority to go and arrest people. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, again, you have to remember how this all started. ICE agents went in to arrest people for violation of U.S. law. When they did this, they started being met with physical resistance. By multiple people, maybe hundreds, who knows, with violent acts, okay, like bricks thrown at them and cars smashed. And, I mean, it got
on fire.
It got ugly quick. So in response to that, then because the ICE is a federal agency, then President Trump, of course, the L.A. local police and the sheriff's department, they got involved too with riot police and so forth. These people began to block streets, stand in the street, block traffic on major highways. So that's how this escalated. So that's when President Trump called in the National Guard, which he had every right to do, and he should have, to restore order. If the governor wasn't going to do it, and because there were federal agents who were being attacked, you have to have federal police to stop the attacks. Our federal, you know what I'm saying?
Right, ICE agents.
ICE agents. So that's how the story unfolded. It wasn't like Trump just called up the National Guard out of nowhere for no reason, just to intimidate people or just to say, hey, I'm going to show my force here with California and provoke a fight with Governor Newsom and the mayor of Los Angeles. That wasn't what provoked the fight. Was the attacks on the ICE agents to begin with, which I didn't ever hear Governor Newsom, or I haven't heard everything he said, but I haven't heard him or Mayor Bass condemn that.
Right.
That's right.
Condemn what started all this, which was the, now they would say, no, what started is ICE agents arresting people in the first place.
Yes.
Okay. Because by people like Gavin Newsom and most of the uber liberals in California, they would say, we don't want ICE. Because we want to allow people to live here, even if they're here, quote, undocumented or illegally, and they shouldn't be arrested no matter what crimes they've committed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what the uber liberals.
Yeah, because it's a sanctuary city and a sanctuary state.
Right.
They're saying that the people are out there just having fun watching cars burn. So don't send the people.
Yeah, that was actually somebody on a local, like ABC television.
I still have it. We could play it. This is a local broadcaster on ABC 7 in Los Angeles. Got 15.
Large group of people. It could turn very volatile if you move law enforcement in there in the wrong way and turn what is just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn into a massive confrontation and altercation between officers and demonstrators.
Yeah.
You know, just having fun watching cars.
I just don't know what to say. That just seems like a skit on Saturday Night Live or something.
I had to double check that it wasn't AI. I mean, yeah. I thought this is something that, you know, would be like Babylon Bee stuff.
If they were burning his car in his driveway, he'd be calling the cops. Yeah, provoke a confrontation. They're burning my car.
Right. That's true. Yeah. Yeah, it's just silliness. This kind of reminds me of that time the CNN reporter during the BLM riots.
Mm-hmm.
Remember he was on with Chris Cuomo? When Chris Cuomo was on CNN and they were talking about the riots, and he said, yeah, it's mostly peaceful protest. And in the background was buildings burning down.
Yeah.
It was like, are you hearing yourself here?
Yeah. But so, This is the way liberals are programmed.
Right.
Don't deal with reality.
No, if it's their cause, it's just, and the ends justifies the means.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I remember Chris Cuomo on CNN at the time saying, he said, show me where protests have to be peaceful.
Yes.
Remember that?
Remember, there was like a junior high or high school student who said, yeah, I'll show you. It's in the Constitution.
He's eating the crackers or whatever.
Yeah.
He was on social media answering Chris Cuomo, but it was very funny. It was like, yeah, it's in the Constitution. It says the First Amendment says peaceful
assembly.
What do we got next? We got a minute to go.
All right, ABC has fired their longtime reporter, Terry Moran, with the network for 20-some years. Mm. He had tweeted out things about Donald Trump and attack that you can see. This is quoting him. You can see by just looking at him this is about Stephen Miller and Donald Trump. This is about Stephen Miller because you can see his hatred is his spiritual nourishment. He eats his hate. Trump is a world-class hater, but he only does it to glorify himself. That was a bridge too far. And according to ABC, with all the distrust of the media, they had to do something. They said, with the way that the public is distrusting the media, if we don't do something now, we're not going to be able to overcome it.
Yep. They fired him.
Yep.
He's gone.
Yeah. See ya. Terry Moran, he's been with ABC a long time, right?
26 years, I think it was, they said.
Yep.
Well, let me just turn this into a lesson. My kids used to always, when they were younger and got to teenage years, they said, Dad, you can turn anything into a lecture. Okay, if I saw a dead armadillo on the side of the road, I'd say, kids, don't take drugs. Okay, so let me make this a social media lesson for you that are listening. Don't send out social media when you're angry. Take a moment. Rethink this, because that's the kind of thing that happens when you just send something out without thinking.
The internet is forever.
Angry, you can get in big trouble.
Yep.
All right. We hope you have a mostly peaceful day.
Indeed.
Thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Thanks to Fred, Ed, Steve, Chris, Abe, and Brent Creeley, our producer. Have a great day, everybody. Keep listening to AFR.